This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
As scuba diver Ray Sandage swims across a seabed, fish dart among the rocks and marine vegetation.
Metro Media Producers Corporation presents Blackwater Gold, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada.
Ray follows a school of bright yellow porkfish into a coral reef. Using a plastic suction tube, he captures several of the tiny fish.
Starring Keir DeLay, Bradford Dillman.
Ray transfers the fish to a small net bag.
Poaching on a game reservation off the Florida Keys isn't the easiest way to make a living. But there was an order for 12 yellow porkfish, and that could mean about $200 net profit. Easy enough to do. Anyway, who'd miss a dozen porkfish? And that's how it all started.
Notices a boat's anchor lying on the bottom as he makes his way over the seabed. His eyes follow the anchor line up to where a runabout bobs on the surface overhead. From his underwater vantage point, Ray watches a motor cruiser moving briskly across the surface. Bullets zip into the water. An object is thrown from the runabout, and as it sinks, two men dive into the water. Ray watches the cruiser knife into the runabout, cutting it in half, and sees the stern section plummet toward the sea bottom. Taking cover behind a coral formation, Ray looks up at the two swimmers. The cruiser makes another pass. More bullets zip into the water around the swimmers. As the swimmers float lifelessly in the water, the cruiser powers up and moves away. In the cruiser's wake, the bow section of the runabout sinks toward the bottom.
With France Nguyen.
Ray examines the stern where the runabout's name is painted, Dismas, out of Tomlin's Key.
Aaron Kincaid, Lana Wood.
Ray swims over to the object jettisoned earlier from the runabout. It's a pair of dive bags, and Ray slings them over his shoulder.
Co-starring Jacques Aubuchon, Paul Hampton, Tyrone Stewart.
Ray surfaces just offshore. On the beach, he begins to remove his dive gear.
Special guest star, Ricardo Montalban.
Ray carries the salvaged dive bags across the beach. Draining the seawater from the bags, he drops them into a tank in the back of his dune buggy and unzips his wetsuit.
Story by Alan Landsberg. Teleplay by Irvin Kerhane. Produced and directed by Alan Landsberg.
Pulling on a sweatshirt, Ray spots a boat offshore. It's the police. Running across the beach, Ray picks up the rest of his diving gear and carries it back to his dune buggy. Ray points his dune buggy down a sandy road leading across the game reservation. The sign on the gate reads, "Restricted beach, no fishing or swimming." As Ray turns onto the highway, a police car crosses the center line and drives straight at him, forcing him to stop.
I knew all I'd have to do was wait a spell.
Now, don't tell me. You're up for the Safe Driver's Award. Hey, man, there must be other major criminals around for you to chase, huh?
Maybe you better save the funny stuff for the beach chick sandwich. Because this time, I'm riding you into town.
For what?
Driving out of a restricted beach.
Yeah, well, I made a wrong turn.
Boy doesn't get his hair wet making a wrong turn.
Okay, what's it gonna be? 10 years for trespassing, or maybe you'd like to punch me around a little like you did with Neuvoner?
This time, there ain't gonna be any witnesses for a review board. I got a call from a police boat. Now, why don't you get out and resist arrest so I can have some sport? Come on, beach boy. Get out the car. Nice and easy.
Ray punches the accelerator, knocking the cop across the hood of his cruiser, and speeds away. The cop sideswipes Ray's buggy, trying to knock him off the road. As the cop pulls up beside him again, Ray turns onto a dirt road, running back into the bush. The cop races after him. Ray leads the cop along a dusty, narrow track. A sandy track that runs parallel to the beach. Jumping a gully, Ray drives down a sandy hillside onto the beach. The cop watches helplessly as Ray's dune buggy speeds away along the shoreline. Along the dock, carrying the salvaged dive bags. Stepping down onto the deck of his houseboat, he stops to greet his caged pet monkey. Then he goes inside. Dumps the contents of the dive bags out onto his table.
At first, it looked like funky coral, but it didn't make sense. A lot of shooting, two dead men, for what? But it wasn't just coral. It was the stuff diving dreams were made of. Artifacts, a fancy name for treasure.
Picking up a knife, Ray pries one of the coral-encrusted objects apart. Picking up another item, he examines it closely, then begins to pry it apart.
The coral had taken root on the wreckage of a ship and around one very special item, a Panama eagle, an unmelted gold coin dating from the Inca. It had to come from a Spanish galleon called the Hidalgo. $4, maybe $5 million in cold, hard treasure. And it was somewhere between the Florida coast and a place called Tomlin's Key in Nassau. And somebody wanted it bad enough to kill.
Dr. Christoph Pertiger, please. Until next Monday? No, no message.
Later, at a beach resort, Ray walks with another man and a young woman.
It could just be you have found something very important.
And that's it. A ship called the Distress, out of Tomlin's Key here in Nassau. Fresh wreckage. Right in the middle, I found the bags of coral.
No survivors?
No signs, nothing. No claims registered. If it is the Hidalgo, Chris, it means $5 million in gold.
Little pieces of a puzzle. A coin, coral fragments, probable location. We're going to need a lot more than that to work on, my friend.
Get Zayas. He's worked on the Hidalgo papers for the past 10 years.
I don't have time to look for people.
He's diving a cave right here in NASA.
Do we need him, Chris?
We is a little premature. If I go, I would need a man who has a good set of eyes in the water. I don't think you're good enough.
I'm as good a diver as you.
Ever were? Perhaps. But I was talking about brains. That's why we need Zayas.
Will you come?
Chris glances over at the young woman, Egan.
On these conditions, all my orders. The credit for the find will be mine. We split 80 for me and 20 for you.
Ray notices the policeman nearby.
Okay, it's a deal.
At a marina, Lyle Fawcett and an exotic woman lounge on the deck of his yacht.
Ah, the prodigal.
Another man joins them.
Well, I certainly would like a little nip right now.
Wait now, just a moment. Wait now, where is Mr. Dugan?
Mr. Dugan. Well, we found them in a boat off the Florida coast. I figured I would go in fast and take him off. But the jerk started shooting.
He ran you off?
We went in fast and I rammed their scow and they hit the water and I started shooting.
And they got away. You killed him. Idiot child, I cannot believe that anyone could... He is the only man who knows where the Hidalgo is. I just wanted him back. And witnesses, what about them?
There were no witnesses. We were at sea, you know that. Now, I would like a drink. Ty, can you
do that little thing?
Go have it in your cabin. And pray for your pathetically muscle-bound soul, Roger.
Now, go!
Lyle shoves Roger away with his foot.
His signs were very bad anyway.
His signs were bad. How about mine?
You going through turmoil. Here, I'll show you.
Tyus places a deck of tarot cards on the table.
Tomorrow is another day. Skeleton of death. I didn't see how it could fit in all this luxury. Funny.
On the sandy sea bottom, a beam of light plays across a human skeleton. Hovering over the skeleton, a scuba diver photographs the bones with an underwater camera. Swims through an underwater tunnel. diver tugs on a rope, and the basket is hauled up. On the shore, Chris, Ray, and Egan stare into a large hole in the ground.
You're going to be down there another 2 or 3 hours.
I'll go for him.
No. Where I grew up in Quebec, we never had caves like this to explore. I want to see it. Besides, when you found Zayas, you wouldn't know what to say to him.
Chris lowers himself into the hole by a rope.
Be careful.
Of course.
The hole leads to a flooded cave. Chris edges down a slope to the seawater.
Zayas!
Down here, sir. He diving.
How long has he been down?
About 30 minutes.
Hold that basket. I want to send him a message.
Chris places Ray's Panama Eagle on the back of the camera, and Alejandro Zayas' assistant lowers the basket into the water. Taking the coin from the basket, Alejandro examines it and immediately heads for the surface.
Where did this come from?
From me, Pedregal.
Confounded alguien. Maldita sea mi suerte. Mal rayo de parta, desgraciado. I looked 10 years for the Hidalgo, and you find it. How? Where?
Only the eagle. I don't have the Hidalgo yet. I need help to find it.
Zayas help you? You must be crazy. You forget Yucatan, don't you? What you said? Zayas. A good historian, but the words are printed right here, my friend.
He points at his head.
He has no standing in the scientific community. Remember that?
It's still true. Oh, he had a good idea, but you couldn't carry it out. He had no specialists in geology, anatomy, iron biology. There were no checks, no laboratory proofs.
Who needs them? Anatomy. Cow bones in the field teach you anatomy. You dive in the ocean. You learn about fish. Laboratory proof. Yucatan was my dream, amigo.
Forget about Yucatan, Ali. I need you. You're a good diver. I need your instincts. And I need your knowledge of the Hidalgo.
Mr. Zayas, you want, huh?
Let us call it a marriage of convenience. That's all, Ali. But together, we can make one of the most magnificent finds of the last 10 years.
And that's very important to you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. As it would be to you.
No, my friend. Finding the Hidalgo for me is a vendetta, don't you see? A 300-year-old vendetta for what was taken from my country and my people. Gold effigies of gods from the Aztecs and the Mayans. Unmelted in their original form. So I will come, Christophe. I will come.
Chris offers Ali his hand.
But only to satisfy my curiosity.
Refusing to shake Chris's hand, Ali places the Panama Eagle in it. The islands of the Bahamas dot the blue waters of the Caribbean.
Tomlin's Key, a backwater coral fragment that was once a pirate hideout. Now it's a haven for millionaire yachts, the kind of tourist who always looks for those quiet little places cut off from modern civilization.
Ray joins the others at a table on the boulevard.
Norte, 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 every time. 6 survivors of the Hidalgo agree, norte, north, 500-600 miles away.
And then we disregard their testimony. Just give me the facts, Ali. I'll make the determinations.
Facts say nothing.
Facts say everything. Men say nothing. In all of nature, only man is irrational. He struggles without sense, kills for no reason.
He tastes, feels, smells, hates, loves. Not like you, a head and no heart.
Go back to your book, Sally. I need information.
I want you to hear something in the testimony, Chris.
Here comes my man.
Stepping into the street, Ray approaches a carriage carrying a portly white man and a young black boy.
Mr. Kepler, sir. They say you own most of the boats here in Tomlins.
Boats, the hotel, the dive shop. Many enterprises, Mr. Porter, Bill Porter.
What kind of boat you looking for, Mr. Porter?
About a 30-footer, master for diving.
Oh, both difficult at this time. What kind of diver?
Mainly pleasure. A friend of mine got a boat from you, a little 20-footer, the Dismas.
Oh, yes, yes, you know Mr. Douglas. Duggins, I forget exactly the name.
Yeah, well, they call him Duke up in the Keys. I never knew his last name.
But he's a friend.
All scuba bums are friends. Yeah, he said he was doing some diving off of Shark Island. No, wait, what?
I have no idea, Mr. Porter. You're staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, you need diving licenses. They're $10 each. I'm the legal officer here. I'm empowered to collect them.
Oh, well, I'll get it by to you tomorrow. Anyway, try and get me the boat, huh? Well,
the boy can stay with you if you like.
Okay, thanks. Come on.
Keflos watches the boy walk away with Ray. Then his expression grows thoughtful. Later, aboard Lyle's yacht.
Mr. Fawcett! Mr. Fawcett, I have news.
Lyle waves Keflos on deck.
The man who destroyed my boat and killed your diver, he's here in Tomlin's Key.
Tyus glances warily at Lyle.
How do you know this, my friend?
I've seen him. I spoke to him this morning. He asked me about the Dismas, but I tricked him. He didn't even know Dugan's name.
Mr. Keflos, are you sure this man is the murderer?
Oh, he's the man. I received a bulletin from Nassau yesterday. He was at the scene of the crime. The police report that he escaped, but he was traced to Nassau. His name is Raymond Sanders, and he told me it was Porter.
You've done a remarkable bit of detective work, my friend. Have you reported this to Nassau?
Well, that's another reason why I'm here. The Tomlins radio is out again, so I thought perhaps I could call from your boat.
Lyle, I think we ought to help Mr. Keflos.
Yes, of course, absolutely. I tell you what, Mr. Keflos, Roger and I will send that message. No, you just stay right there where you're comfortable, and we'll be back in a flash.
Would you like a drink, Mr. Keflos?
Oh, no, thanks. I've had some problems with my liver. I'm quite yellow at times.
How terribly unfortunate for you.
Tyus salutes Keflos with her glass. Meanwhile, inside the cockpit, Roger sinks into a chair as Lyle paces irritably.
Look, believe me, I tell you, there was no one. It was just impossible.
Like I told you to get me Dugan after his double cross. Instead, you ran this boat and killed him. You're a bit much.
Look, when somebody shoots at me, I shoot back.
Dugan was very, very stupid.
Error! Mistake! Your mistake. If the blade falls, it's not going to hit my neck.
Lyle's hands grip Roger's neck.
You know something, Raj? I think you've got a female admirer among the fates. Sandage has been dropped in your lap. If you can get that gun on him and get him to the police, all ends here.
Meanwhile,
tell one lie and you tell many others to cover it up.
Hold on to that, Ali.
What?
What if they were all lying?
But why?
Great. A ship full of artifacts.
So they could go back and get the ship themselves.
Now we have nothing to go on.
maybe, but maybe some little thing. El Tuerto, the one-eyed seaman. We always throw him away. He was crazy, too much sun, remember?
Nobody ever paid any attention to him. What does he give us? Nothing. No facts. Nothing about the wind direction.
Malaga wind.
Wait, wait.
Here he is. He says, my place of birth is the great port of Almeria on the gentlest of seas.
So?
To a man in Almeria, a Malaga wind comes from the southwest. What about the heading? What about the weather conditions? I thought my back would break. So many hours in the mast with the lines tearing at my hand and the sea black. The ocean black.
Meaning what?
Now, he says they kept him there so long. How long? It could take maybe one day, maybe even two. But the storm lasted 3 days.
Chris pulls a marine chart from the pile of books and paper.
That would put them 500 miles to the south.
Agua Negra. Agua Negra. He always talks about Agua Negra. Black water.
Ali, there is a place here called Black Key.
Too simple to lie. Agua Negra. Lucky.
On the street.
Okay, how about 20 questions? And you tell me what our modern code. Just a hint. I'd like to know what the charges are before I'm executed.
The charges are lying, Ray. Chris thinks you lied to him.
About what?
The police were at the hotel. They were asking about you. They found a rifle in your room. What are you doing?
Ray spots the police.
Come on, Egan, let's go.
Grabbing Egan's hand, he darts into the street with the cops in pursuit. As a constable reaches for him, Ray heaves him aside, then sends the man's partner flying with one punch. The first cop tackles Ray, but Ray flips him over the hood of a car, then pushes the second man flying across the sidewalk. Ray knocks both cops sprawling on the sidewalk, grabs Egan's hand, and breaks into a run. Turning into a covered mall, they run out the other side into a street market. With the cops on their tail, they dart into a market stall. Dashing out of the back of the stall, they lose the cops and run down the street. That night, as they load their boat...
Sure, you get the hoses for the compressor.
How do you explain the rifle? The police come to the hotel and find it in your room.
I don't know. I guess whoever killed him's trying to pin me for it. I never saw any rifle.
And taking Egan with you when you ran, what have they had fired?
Look, Bahamian cops don't carry guns.
They do when they come after murderers.
Your friend seems to act first and think later, if at all.
Look, we got away, didn't we? What's the big complaint?
The big complaint is that you make me and Ali and Egan accomplices to murder.
Gee, man, I'm framed. I'm the pigeon. Give me 48 hours. If we find the Hidalgo, maybe we find the killers. Oh, Chris, there's $5 million out there.
All right, everything is ready. Let's go.
We're not going.
What?
Not until we clear this with the police.
And lose the Hidalgo?
Perhaps.
Ali, you don't understand. Two men have been murdered.
So?
There are men who would kill for a dollar.
Certainly for the Hidalgo.
That is not the point. For 10 years I've looked. Now I have the Hidalgo. I can taste it.
It would be crazy to do this thing now after what happened.
You've lost your stomach, haven't you? ¿Qué pasó, amigo? Courage all dried up, huh?
Don't goad me, Ali. Don't goad me. I know the difference between right and wrong and sanity and insanity, and this thing is wrong and crazy.
Look, while you two guys are standing here arguing, my chances are being cut. Now, Chris, I'm sorry we have to take you with us, but somebody's got a tin topside.
Come on, Egan, let's go. Let these people cut their own throats.
I'd like to let you go, but not now.
Ray knocks Chris out.
Ellie!
He grabs Egan.
You coming, Ali?
There was never any question.
All right, let's get out of here. In what direction?
Black Key.
Black Key!
Under the cover of darkness, the Bahamian captain powers the cruiser Royal out to sea. As the Royal leaves the harbor lights of Tomlin's Key behind, Ray and Egan carry Chris into the cabin and lay him on a bunk.
If I had a gun, I'd shoot you.
Let up on me, will you?
I should have made him leave this afternoon. If I had insisted, he would have gone.
Like you had a lot to say about it, huh? He doesn't listen to you, or me, or anybody else for that matter. Whatever he wants to do, he does.
You don't know him. He came because of me.
Oh, come now.
Right after the accident, he warned me.
What accident?
His. When he hurt his ear. Oh, I was showing off. I told him I was used to being down that far. 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, and then rendezvous and go back up. I never realized I was getting giddy. Too much nitrogen. So strange. No contact with reality. I couldn't tell up from down. They started up. I began drifting to the bottom. Chris. Chris was the only one who realized what had happened. Must have come 200 feet to get me in. Going too fast. When we got up, he couldn't hear. A big part of his life was destroyed then.
So you've been making it up to him ever since. Is that why you stuck it out with him?
Egan looks at Ray with astonishment.
Is it Egan?
Chris has regained consciousness. The next morning, aboard Lyle's yacht, Keflos hungrily watches a steward pass a plate of toast to Roger.
Well, they should be there by now.
Oh, yes, I know the boat. If they took that heading, they'd make it in 12 hours.
Why would they head there for the wreck? Didn't I pay you for information that it was off Turtle Reef?
Keflos nods.
How much did I give you for that Turtle Reef location?
Well, I don't remember, but I was never certain of the accuracy.
Ah, I see. Very well, Mr. Keflos. Then where did Dugan dive up those artifacts?
Well, I believe it was the Black Key. May I have some eggs?
Lyle stops his hand with a fork.
In other words, I paid you for nothing. We've finished for the moment, thank you. For the moment, Mr. Keflos.
Lyle throws the fork down on Keflos's empty plate. Glaring at the man, he pushes away from the table.
Well, shall we go after them?
Four people. So troublesome.
Lyle glances down at a newt swimming in a bowl of water beside an astrological chart.
Dias, my love, come here.
As Keflos reaches for the scraps on Lyle's plate, Roger warns him off.
We will let your little friend decide. Now, if he goes to Taurus, we stay. But if he goes to Aries, we go after them.
It's all up to Alexander. Come here, baby. Come to you, mommy. Here we go. There. All right, my baby.
Tyus sets the newt on the chart. It crawls toward Taurus.
No! I tell you not to tell him anything. You're going to disturb him. You can't influence him. You have to let him go.
The newt points toward Aries. Meanwhile, under the sunny blue skies, the Royal makes its way across the open sea. Chris sits on the foredeck, poring over the Hidalgo's log.
Okay, hook it off. We're gonna go in from here.
The boy, Jason, lowers the anchor over the side.
Hey, Nelson, toss me the keys.
Nelson, the captain, pulls the keys from the ignition switch.
Thanks.
That's really not necessary, Sandage.
Probably not, but I don't want to risk anything.
You make us risk everything by just being here.
Well, it feels right. Amateurs.
Ah, you put on your mask and jump into the water and think you're going to find a pot of gold.
I said it feels right. Like Yucatan, Ali? Stupid and unprepared. No tight flow charts, no soundings, no callings, nothing.
Sounds good. Get them, Dr. Expert.
Chris tosses the Hidalgo's log aside in frustration.
Now we leave this unpleasant world.
Suited up, Ray and Ali jump over the side and sink into the waters of the Caribbean. On the bottom, Ali directs Ray to search in one direction, while he searches in the other. Ray swims over the waving beds of marine vegetation, examining the seabed for clues to the Hidalgo's location. Prods an ancient cannonball with a box tool, then swims on for a couple of yards and begins to chip away at some coral. Meanwhile, on the surface, Lyle stands on the roof of his yacht, the Wandra, scanning the horizon through binoculars. Down below, Ali sketches an underwater archway he has found in a coral reef. Surfacing, Ray hands an object over the gunwale to Nelson. Then he returns to the bottom. Meanwhile, Ali chips something off a coral formation and swims away. He surfaces beside the Royal and hands a chunk of coral to Nelson. Then, he too makes another dive. While Ray continues to explore the sea bottom, up on the surface, Lyle spots the Royal in the distance. Later, Ray and Ali surface and climb back aboard the Royal. Nelson and Jason help them out of their gear.
You see anything?
Not a thing. It's deep through here. Too deep for a reef that could sink a ship.
No ballast stones, no cannon coral. But 40 yards astern, I saw a cave I think we should explore.
Well, that's great, but we're not looking for caves.
Well, I want to have a look inside.
No caves, Ali. We're here for the Hidalgo, remember?
You're quick with your temper and your hands, aren't you, amigo? But don't try it on me. I take no orders from you. I'm going to take a look at that cave.
What did it look like?
Strange. Two arms like branches reaching up and forming an arch.
Coral incrustations?
Some, yes.
Fissures? Volcanic rocks?
I don't know. It was too quick.
The Lantern described a condition like that in the Polynesian group, but not here.
Another armchair genius.
If I could be with you down there, I would show you how stupid...
Then stop hating me because I can. Why don't you send Egan with me?
She can go.
It's up to you.
Walking away from Ali, Chris climbs up onto the bridge.
I hate the water because I can't go in.
Chris, please don't.
Shh. At least one good thing has come from this trip, for you and me. I don't want a nurse. There's no exchange. But this, for your love.
Chris, I was very upset last night.
You were right. Stop hiding. You don't have. And you don't owe me anything. Except to go into the water. Come on. Get into your suit.
Egan looks at Chris sadly.
Go on.
Chris smiles at her reassuringly. Egan picks up her wetsuit and heads down to the deck.
I'm glad to see, amigo, that you don't always use your head.
It's interesting that my information is always opposite from yours.
Egan borrows Ray's fins and weight belt.
Jason, give me a new set. I'm going to make a survey of the sand while they pleasure dive.
Allie and Egan descend side by side toward the bottom. Approach, a school of fish darts into the protection of a coral overhang. As Allie leads Egan into the mouth of the cave, his headlight illuminates the narrow passageway. Egan swims after him, shining her light across the walls and floor of the tunnel. Finally, they surface in the cave.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's so strange. We're under the sea, and there's this great bubble inside. How did it get here?
I don't know. I don't know. Chris is right. Amateur. They're just a crazy Mexican with a hunger, but for what? So people will say, Sayas is a man who does important things.
You're a good historian, Ollie.
By accident. Oh, I scratch around in rocks and caves, and I find something. Something that looks important, and I want to know more. I want to know why and how and where. Little by little, like an ant making a sandpile. No, Egan, I'm no historian. Chris is right. Amateur.
Meanwhile, on the surface, the Wanderer cruises closer to the Royal. Lyle steps into the cockpit.
No question. It's them. We'll just destroy their boat. Kept close, we'll report there was an accident and catch a killer, all in one fortunate circumstance.
James Bond.
Hmm?
Makes you feel like Superman. Charles King. This is real, Lyle. There are real people out there.
Well, they may have something I want.
Buy it from them. You have all the money it takes, just buy it.
Buy? Then what will I do to make life interesting? Hmm? Roger, Stan, would you get up to the bow of the rivals? Come now, Tyus, my darling. Just think. From bunkum, vice, and petty thievery. Now, you're about to enter the big leagues.
As Roger and Stan, a Bahamian deckhand, take up their positions on the bow, Lyle gives the Wanderer more throttle. The yacht surges through the water. Aboard aboard the Royal.
Get up on the stern, Jason. If they keep coming, jump.
Down below, Allie, Ray, and Egan hear the muffled reports of the rifles.
This time, Nelson, just move them around.
In the water, Chris, Nelson, and Jason are easy shots from the bow of the Wandra. Pointing for the others to follow him up, Ray starts toward the surface. Bullets strike the water just feet from the swimmers. Nelson sinks beneath the surface, pulled under by Ray, who gives Nelson the mouthpiece to his air tank long enough to fill his lungs.
Just move them around until they get tired.
The bullets strike just inches from Jason. Jason slips beneath the surface as Egan grabs his ankle. Breaking free, the boy resurfaces.
Come close, don't hit them.
Egan pulls Jason back under. Placing her mouthpiece in his mouth, she guides him down into the depths. Above her, Allie reaches up and drags Chris beneath the surface. Chris fills his lungs from Allie's air tank, then hands the mouthpiece back to him as they kick toward the bottom. As they all swim toward the seabed, Ray and Egan keep Nelson and Jason supplied with air from their tanks. With one arm wrapped around Chris, Allie guides him down into the gloomy depths. Meanwhile, the Wandra pulls alongside the Royal, and Lyle boards the smaller craft. Tyus looks on disapprovingly as Lyle inspects the gear aboard the Royal. Climbing up onto the gunwale, he peers into the water, trying to locate the Royal's crew. Down below, the swimmers move through the water just above the seabed. Guided by Allie, Chris places a protective hand over his shattered eardrum. They all swim through the tunnel that leads into the underwater cave. Chris surfaces writhing with pain.
We all here? We all make it?
Well, Roger, bring the dynamite.
He brings the dynamite.
Yes, we'll blow this filthy scow and we can sit up top and wait.
Where do you think they went?
Well, they went under and they haven't come up. So just offhand, sweetheart, I'd say they's drowned.
The Wandra pulls away from the Royal. The Wandra.
Headed at night. Six special security guards cover the entrances, but the second and third story office windows, vulnerable.
Keflos nods as Lyle projects another slide on the wall.
These guards are just for show, for tourist movements, the real security of plainclothesmen. During visiting hours, there are many workable hiding places. I should check the suits of armor for possible cover. Ah, the Uffizi Gallery, filled with Italian Renaissance goodies. Open late evening. And in workman's clothes, a switch of copy for original could be accomplished.
The slides are of Botticelli paintings.
Telephone, Mr. Fawcett. It's Mrs. Fawcett.
Hi, Mother. Hello. How are you doing? Over.
Lyle. Hello, Lyle. I'm just fine. Your father's arm's bothering. Over.
Tell him to lay off the golf if it still bothers him. Over.
Are you having fun with all the kids from Palm Beach? Over.
The fun lovers left in Kingston. Raj and I have been diving.
Marjorie Dill said she saw you in Nassau with a very strange girl.
Old Marjorie probably had a few too many. Listen, Mother, I found some nice pieces for you, this time in gold. I'm sure you'll like them, over.
I never got those other ones you said you were bringing. Lyle, I thought you were coming up to Hyannisport. The season's almost...
Yes, listen, Mother, the reception's getting bad, so you'd be good against to take care of that hip. Huh? Bye-bye now. Love you. Bye-bye.
The next slide is of a crown on a velvet cushion.
How'd you like to have that? Come on. Strange girl, don't be so uptight. Hey, Rog.
No.
I'll tell you what. Let's go diving for lobsters. I'd like some for a snack. Come on.
I'd like to call about my business. The accounts are due tomorrow.
Forget it. Our account is more important.
The others walk out, leaving Keflos alone in the lounge. Plucking an apple from the coffee table, he bites into it. Meanwhile, shielded by the night, Ray and his companions make their way ashore through the light surf. On the beach.
Please, someone say something.
Can you hear me? Chris, can you hear me?
I hear nothing.
He clears the water from his hearing aid.
Do you know this island?
No, I don't.
We're going to need water, so why don't you take Jason and see if you can find some, huh?
Come on, Jason.
Jason accompanies Nelson on his search for water.
Ali? Can you understand me?
Yes, Chris.
It's strange not being able to hear myself.
Go ahead, I understand.
Go ahead. You were right. I was wrong.
About what? What?
The cave. This place. I never would have come here.
You want my apology, too?
All right. No, no. El Tuerto. It was a wild guess. Impulse. But it was exactly right. Ali, we have it. We have the Hidalgo.
Where? How? How?
You were right about the wind. You were right about the storm. You were right about everything. You were right about the color of the water. You see, I couldn't believe that the ship could be in such water so deep. But then I saw the cave and I realized that it was formed at the surface. I'm certain that the cave area was the reef. And below, we find the bones of the Hidalgo.
You figure this out, or we were trapped in the cave. Amigo, you're a genius.
Ali, there's a fisherman living on this island, and they even got boats.
Good. They'll have boats. We will be able to get off this island. Then we can get them to get us some dry clothes.
The next morning, the village children play in the shallows. Egan sits on the rocks, staring out at the wanderer. Chris has dismantled his hearing aid amplifier and is blowing the water and sand from it.
I'd like one of your people in a boat to get back to Nassau. How long do you think it's going to take with the best wind?
How about 3 days and two nights?
The yacht's getting close to the Hidalgo.
If they find it, they will dynamite the reef and destroy the Hidalgo.
But we can't lose her now.
We're not going to lose her now. Now, Domo, I need 10 of your people and all the fishing boats in the village.
Later, out on the water, the fishermen stretch their nets from boat to boat. As they throw chunks of fish into the water, the local shark population rises to the bait. Glass floats suspend the fishing nets in the water barely 20 yards off the yacht's bow. From the deck of the Wandra, Lyle watches a fisherman cut up more bait.
Hey! We want to go diving in this spot. How long will you be fishing?
Oh, about... not too long, man.
You look, they're scrounging up the stuff killed in the blast. You can't very well go diving with those things in the water. Would you look? It's alive with them.
Yes, yes, yes. He's going to be in a real snit.
In the village.
How did he go?
Nobody dives when other babies are in the water. Can you hear?
Still a bad home, but I can understand.
Chris, please come in. Will you level with me?
Of course.
Are you sure? Fairly sure that he done with it?
Nothing is sure. We're still trying to prove Einstein's theory.
We should prove it, Chris. We have to bring up one sample. If we're going to make a claim, we have to show something more than just a theory, don't we?
Out of the question. It's too risky.
Chris, it was out of the question that this was the place. Remember? Right?
How would you go about it?
A night guide, Chris. Yeah. They've got magnesium fishing flares here in the village.
Ali?
Yes, I would.
Egan?
I'd go.
Well, I've always found something rather distasteful about democratic principles, but in this case, I will bow to the majority decision. Go make the dive.
I hope our friends with the fins and teeth are not there.
Aboard the Wandra.
Let's get the tanks. Get the tanks going.
Oh.
The Wanderer's crew loads the yacht's scuba gear aboard the diving raft.
I thought we were going to take it easy while we're looking for the wreck.
If it gets rough for you, I can always find a replacement. I'm getting bored out here, so we're working round the clock.
Listen, those capitalists really have a lot of money.
Now, that's more like it. Always plan ahead.
As the Wanderer's crewmen stack air tanks on the raft, Roger inspects the vessel's lighting fixtures, which are designed to provide illumination underwater. That night on the beach.
Okay, here we are, right?
Ray draws in the sand.
Coast, right? We gotta go out about a half a mile. Sticking close together, always keeping in sight of each other. Right here, we got the nets from the fishing beach. We gotta go under them. And right about here, we've got to salvage the compressor. We use float bags to pull it to the surface and tow it ashore. It probably sunk very close to the wreck. Okay? Now, why don't you go see what our friends on the yacht are up to?
Okay.
We'll cover the bottom at 30-foot intervals. You work from the bow. I work from the stern.
Torches are going to last about 5 minutes.
They're busy as bees out there. There are lights all over the place.
We'll go in here and light these underwater.
Come, we'll keep watching the raft.
Nelson and Jason stay with Chris while Ray, Allie, and Egan wade into the water. Underwater, magnesium flares cast a ghostly light. Close together, the three divers approach the line of fishing nets. Gathering the bottom of the netting in his hand, Ray lifts it up to create an opening, and Allie and Egan swim through. Searches the seabed for the Royal's air compressor. Aboard the Wandra.
Excuse me. You have lights aboard.
We go diving at night, yes.
And guns.
Kefalos walks away looking worried.
I think we'd better feed Mr. Kefalos, don't you?
I forgot to give him lunch. He'll be near death.
Hey, Lyle?
Lyle, huh?
Come look at this. I think I see flares going underwater. I think they're divers, huh? Two or three of them over there, Lyle.
They're heading out toward the reef. It's got to be them.
On the seabed, the compressor stands out in the harsh light of the flares. Egan and the others gather around it. As Ray ties a diving bag to the compressor, Allie fills the bag with air from his tank.
We needed the compressor. It was a pain in the neck, and it would take time to get it. But it was the only chance to refill our tanks if we didn't find the Hidalgo on the first dive. It's an old trick. Like making a hot air balloon. We'd fill the bag with air, and it would float the compressor toward the surface.
Meanwhile, on the diving raft...
We'll be back very soon, Caius. With gold.
The outboard motor propels the diving raft away from the Wandra. At the village, Chris spots the light from the moving raft.
I'll get the light. Stay here and watch the raft.
He leaves Nelson and Jason on the beach. From the raft, the light from the underwater flares is clearly visible.
They're down there.
Maybe they've found something.
We're going for the raft.
On the beach, Chris removes his shirt and hearing aid.
Let's go. Stay behind me. Jason, stay closer.
Nelson and Jason follow him into the water, and Chris holds the rifle aloft as they swim out into the surf. Meanwhile, on the raft...
Such a bore. I wonder if it's worth all the trouble.
It's gonna be easy to get there. This time I won't make any mistakes.
Roger and Lyle suit up.
I'm gonna get your spear gun. This time we won't make a mistake, Roger. We'll finish them off.
Down below, Allie and the others notice the lights from the raft as they are switched on.
We had to put the flares out, and fast. The lights up on top were a shock. They were gonna make it very hard to find a hiding place underwater. All I saw was the spear guns. At 10 feet, they make a very nasty hole in the body.
Armed with their spear guns, Lyle and Roger descend toward the bottom, swimming toward where they last saw the flares. They see Ray and the others ahead.
We split. Ollie took Egan with him. I don't know how they did it, but they put a little distance between themselves.
Swim hard, but Roger keeps the light of his electric torch on them as he continues his pursuit. As Allie and Egan approach the fishermen's nets, they swim to the surface. Using their knives, they cut the nets free from the lines.
It must have been Ollie who dreamed up the net gimmick and led his man into the trap. If it didn't work, there would have been some tidy morsels for the local shark family.
Allie and Egan swoop down on Roger, trapping him in the nets. The harder Roger struggles, the more entangled he becomes, and Allie wraps the nets tightly around him. Roger thrashes about harmlessly on the sea bottom. Meanwhile, Ray kicks hard as he swims across the bottom, ahead of Lyle's spear gun.
I found the cave mouth and headed in. All I had to do was dump my tanks and fix a mouthpiece so it kept bubbling. I didn't know for sure what I was going to do after that, except go as far as one long breath would carry me.
Unfastening his harness, Ray drops his air tank behind an outcropping of rock as Lyle approaches the cave. Leaving the tank bubbling, Ray ducks into the shadows. Entering the cave, Lyle spots the air bubbles from Ray's tank and swims toward them. As Lyle discovers he's been tricked, Ray escapes unseen from the cave.
I had to get to the compressor. There was air in that float bag. That would give me enough to do what I had to do. Drop the compressor over the cave entrance and lock him in.
Gripping the rope suspending the compressor from the airbag, Ray swims back toward the cave, dragging the compressor with him. Cuts the rope. The compressor sinks rapidly and comes to rest over the entrance. Lyle pushes against the compressor, but with no leverage, he can't budge the heavy machine. Meanwhile, Chris climbs aboard the dive raft, rifle in hand. As Nelson and Jason join him, he posts them at either end of the raft. Suddenly, the diver surfaces.
Don't move! Ray! Are the others all right?
They're okay.
I've just seen the Hidalgo, Chris. And she's beautiful.
And our friends from the yacht?
Ray hands Chris a piece of coral. Chris breaks it open and finds a second Panama Eagle inside.
You would be a very wealthy young man, Ray.
Next morning, Ray walks along the beach in the fishing village.
Hey, man, the doctor gave me tanks.
Yeah? Look, you be careful here. You're not going to learn it all in one day.
Just watch me go.
Jason heads off for the water.
You know he's going to be okay?
Egan sinks to her knees beside Ray.
One scuba bomb coming up.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you take my house for it? I'm going to be cutting out of here as soon as this police thing's cleared up. And, well, it's going to take me at least 5 years to go through what I made here.
Where will you go?
Where there's warm wind and deep water.
Alone?
I don't know any other way it works.
They stand.
Well, and so long, Ray. I'll see you on a coral reef somewhere.
Ray approaches Allie.
Well, spent 10 years looking for what now, buddy?
Well, I am going to spend the rest of my life studying adventures.
No, that's too long.
No, on the contrary, not long enough, amigo. So much to learn. If I had 100 years, I couldn't put it all in my mind.
Come on, Allie. You know what's going to happen. You're going to end up with Chris here. All brains, no action.
Well, that's not a bad thing, you know.
Allie, you know, when we finish excavating for the Hidalgo, I was thinking about Yucatan.
Yes? And?
Well, perhaps you and I, together, we could crack it wide open.
Oh, you mean, what did you call it? A marriage of convenience?
Well, let's just call it a meeting of the minds.
What about the heart?
Chris grips Allie's hand warmly. Along the beach, Roger and Lyle are wrapped in blankets under police guard. Tyus steps up to Ray.
I want to tell you personally, Mr. Sandage, that I will be a witness on your behalf. I know all the details about their plan to frame you with the murder of Mr. Dugan.
Now the worm turns.
Thank you. You're very thoughtful, Miss...
Tyus.
She's quite lovely.
I know.
Tyus smiles alluringly at Ray as he walks away.
Mr. Sandage, one moment, please.
It's so fortunate, so very fortunate that you and your group of scientists have found this Hidalgo. I've always maintained that this was the very spot.
Oh, really?
Yes, in fact, I feel I was one of those responsible for its discovery.
Kefalos, if they inscribe a plaque of tribute, I'll make sure your name is mentioned and spelled correctly.
Ray walks off along the beach.
The murky deep guards well its prize.
This described version of Blackwater Gold was created by AudioVision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by J.J. Hunt, and produced by Marco Sorin and Valerie Hunter. For information on other described programs and audio cinema presentations available from AudioVision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Keir DeLay as Chris, Bradford Dillman as Lyle, Aaron Kincaid as Ray, Ricardo Montalban as Ali, Frantz Nguyen as Tyus, and Lana Wood as Egan. A Metro Media Producers Corporation production in association with CTV Television Network.